Hello, respective viewers. It's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. In this video, I'm going to be talking about the People's Republic of China and the economic slowdown. If you go back before the credit crunch of 2008, China regularly posted double-digit economic growth per year, and that is phenomenal. They may well have been exaggerating, but probably not by much. If they said it was 13%, it might have been 10%. And now it's claimed to be more like 5%, but in reality, lower than that, 3% perhaps. You know, it's like Mark Twain said, they're lies, damned lies and statistics. And we know the Chinese government lies through its teeth all the time, such as there were no Uyghur concentration camps and blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, that there was no Tiananmen Square massacre, the 4th of June incident didn't happen. Or, you know, there was no famine caused by Mao Zedong and the Great Leap Forward and so forth. And they keep changing their mind about how many people killed by the Japanese, because worryingly they realize it's far fewer than killed by the communist regime in the 60s alone. Anyway, so coming back to China, see, President Xi is in charge, and a couple of years ago he made himself president for life. Because the president of China, remember, it's a five-year term, and it was renewable once, and they could serve 10 years maximum. And the only limitation on the president's powers was really temporal. He was going to have to step down after 10 years. And of course, he can be there for life. And remember, he's exalted his status the same as Mao Zedong, someone on that level. His doctrines really have to be taken as law. This is a regime which is violently intolerant of even the mildest dissent. Challenging state power is criminalized. But they're coming into a crisis of entitlements because the one-child policy has been a bit too successful. Remember the one-child policy, it never forbid you to have a second or subsequent child so long as you paid the fine. And only the wealthy could do so. It was a real prestige thing to have a second child. I knew a Chinese family had four children under the one-child policy because they were loaded, they owned a university and could pay the fine. And so long as the fine was paid, you know, you weren't in trouble at all. Now it's a graying society. It's facing the demographic death spiral. Places like Japan and South Korea are further down that road and have to resort to immigration. Even China's getting immigration from places like Turkmenistan, where they find that conditions might be more salubrious there, more agreeable to them than in Russia, where they traditionally went. And it's made even worse by the fact that they've really embraced tertiary education. You remember, as recently as the 70s, a lot of people in China were illiterate, and now virtually everybody's literate. But you know, university attendance has gone from about 15% in the year 2000 to about 40% now. So that's an enormous increase. And then families are spending staggering sums of money on higher education. Remember, you had the four grandparents, then the two parents and the one grandchild, might even be the grandparents contributing. There's been a big investment in this. These grandparents themselves, who might have left school in their early teens, very pleased to see their grandchild get a bachelor's degree or master's degree or even more, but not getting a return on that investment. Not enough graduate jobs, not enough jobs, full stop. So increasing youth unemployment. And then what are they going to do? So for decades, life was getting better in China. Since probably the end of the 60s, the end of the Great Leap Forward, life was slowly getting better, embracing capitalism right at the end of the 70s, and it lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. For the first time in decades, it might start to go the other way. It's something we've seen all the world over. Not that severe, but the thing is, they had the expectation they were going to get richer. Before the 60s, people didn't particularly think they were going to get richer. They'd been through the century of humiliation, or from the 1840s to the 1940s, almost 100 years of civil war and foreign invasions. So this is not what they were led to anticipate. Of course, in the old days, they had at least not invested loads in education, and now they have, and they're not seeing the return on that. So that's all very bad news for President Xi. Some highly educated people who are globalized, just plugged into what's happening around. They've got the Great Firewall of China. You can get around it, but it's difficult with VPNs. These are sometimes counteracted, and sometimes you can download things, but it takes ages. And affluent, educated people have been abroad. So they're just not as hermetically sealed as they were before. They know life can be different. And the very wealthy can study in Western countries, such as the United States, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Germany, Switzerland, and so forth. Or nearby freer East Asian countries like South Korea or Singapore. So they're not as cut off from world opinion as they used to be. But it's difficult for the regime to keep people on side. The idea was you're going to have no political liberty whatsoever, but you'll have a better standard of living and you can buy more stuff. So it was really just consumerism. And this was for a country which still, the government still professes that it's building socialism, it's building anything but. It's one of the most materialistic countries in the world. but there are going to be fewer goodies around. So what are they going to do? And the other thing about the crisis of entitlements is the retirement age is 50. And of course, when they set up that retirement age with a state pension, most people were physically wrecked. They've been doing backbreaking work on farming rice and so on step farms or working in factories, mines and so forth, shipyards. And those jobs are largely gone. They don't do that very much. And so often they're physically fit and they're going to live for decades. They're going to live into their 70s. And that's unaffordable on the fewer and fewer working age people and fewer people working full stop because there's rising unemployment. So what are they going to do about it? So the thing is, the economy is still growing. We perhaps shouldn't exaggerate the scale of these difficulties. I mean, even 3% economic growth would be enviable by comparison to most Western countries. But of course, if you're a highly advanced economy, if you're someone like the United States or Germany or France or one of those, or Japan, 3% is about as fast as you can grow in a year. 1 or 2% might be typical. But obviously, if you're more of an emerging economy, faster growth is very possible. So they don't really have the ends in sight. Even they are interested in switching to renewable energy, even then partly for environmental reasons, but also because then they wouldn't have to import energy. They'd be energy independent. Because they've got such a huge land area, is it the third largest land mass in the world, and quite a fairly long coastline, they can capture so much wind energy, so much solar power, and so on. They already have got some hydroelectric power, and they wouldn't have to be buying oil, gas, and coal from other countries. They're using their own coal quite a lot, which is quite polluting. So there are various serious difficulties. Now, Taiwan might be a good diversion for this, to take people away from their domestic contents with a short victorious little war. That's what Tsar Nicholas II thought about the Russo-Japanese War. There'll be a rally to the flag effect. But what with the pushback back, will there be sanctions? We know they're afraid of sanctions. And because their economy is more brittle than it used to be, they're more susceptible to sanctions than they used to be. They're fairly vulnerable. We know they've been spooked by the threat of secondary sanctions with regard to selling on things to Russia, which have got military applications. They're obviously dual use items, which do have some applicability to military operations, but it could be used for a civilian purpose. And they'll say, we're selling them for civilian purposes. Of course, they might be repurposed for warfare, transponders, microprocessors, and so on. And it appears they actually did sell some military hardware, not big ticket items like artillery or tanks or anything like that, like small arms, which the Russians are actually not particularly short of. So they might be worried that, the economy get even worse if there are major sanctions because of Taiwan. But then they would control all of the world's microprocessing industry. That's why the United States is very keen that the Taiwanese, set up these factories in the United States. It's just not going fast enough for a lack of qualified staff. Although one of the things that, Taiwan needs to do is make sure it can survive some sort of siege by have aeroponics that can produce its own food. Loads of wind power. It's an island, of course, so it's energy independent, and that was everybody armed to the teeth. And then how are you able to finance this if you can't physically export things, just have factories and abroad, virtually virtual things that you own, so you just can keep going economically, even if you can't import or export things that are actually that tangible. So that's it. So that's why President Xi faces an unenviable quandary, and they say that he wants to reunite China and take back Taiwan by the centenary of the foundation of the Chinese Communist Party, which I think is next year. But it doesn't look likely. There are threats. There's the saber rattling, the flyover, but there's not been the mass buildup. And, they see that the Ukraine war has gone badly for Russia, and taking an island is much more difficult. What would be a little bit easier for China is almost nobody recognizes Taiwan, whereas everybody, even Russia, recognizes Ukraine as a sovereign state. Right. Thank you very much for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.